I know that we have a little tradition. I can't do it this morning. I believe we're blessed, but it's hard to say, isn't it? Joe, thanks for your prayer and your comments. Karl Barth said this. He said, a preacher should preach with the Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other. You can do what you want to with that. We're not going to touch Colossians today, okay? We'll get back to that after the first of the year. Let that be. There's plenty of tragedy in the world, isn't there? I don't know why this one was just striking. I guess because I've got an elementary kid. I don't know. Just maybe it's where you are in life. It's what relates to you. I'm just depressed. Just depressed. Who shoots children? You know? You see, Christmas is coming up. Ty's already alluded to that. And we're not really liturgical in our calendar. In other words, in terms of Churches of Christ. If we were, we would actually be in what right now is called Advent. And the closest I ever got to that, because again, we didn't grow up liturgical with the calendar. The closest we ever got to that is my mother had this thing that she would unroll at the beginning of December. And each day you could put something in the slot that would count down towards Christmas Day. And in fact, I don't know where that went. That's one of those things that was lost, and nobody knows where it is. I wish I had it. It would probably be pretty ragged and tattered, but that's just always a December memory that I had. And I apologize. Y'all have probably seen it in years past at our house. I bought for us an Advent calendar. In other words, one where every day, if y'all have seen it before, the little triangle, it looks like a Christmas tree, which you take, the little door opens, and you get to hang one on it each day for the day leading up to. And this year's been busy. We've just been swamped with stuff, so we hadn't decorated. I'm sorry when you come over to the house, it doesn't look too Christmassy. We want to do better. Can you give us next year? Okay. It's just this has been a rough time in a lot of different ways. So the little Advent calendar wasn't out this year, but it's kind of fun because Hannah doesn't care anymore. But I remember when they were younger, Riley and Molly would fight as to who get to put one out each day, you know, to hang it on the little door, that kind of thing. But here's the deal. Advent is the lead up to Christmas. Okay? And if you're a purist, you don't sing Joy to the World until Christmas Day. Advent is the anticipation of the coming of the King. Of the coming of the Messiah, of the coming of the Promised One. And you don't sing that He has come before He has come, so to speak. Does that make sense? So if you're a purist, Joy to the World sung before December 25th is just wrong. It's just wrong. You don't sing it. Now here's the thing. Anticipation is all kinds of stuff, isn't it? In other words, you can be anticipating something maybe because of the happiness that's going to be there. But anticipation, waiting for something, can be filled with all kinds of things, can't it? It can be filled with joy. It can be filled with excitement. It can be filled with wonder. Anticipation and Advent can also be filled with mourning. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Not mourning like you get up, but hurting. With mourning. And if you think about it, that is a part of the Christmas story, isn't it? Mourning and hurting. Let's give you a setup for it. If you'll remember in Matthew, which we'll be getting into next spring, since that's LTC this year, we'll be talking about that some more later, preaching out of it and teaching, but in Matthew, he relates the story of the Magi, the wise men that come to see Jesus. And of course, not knowing any better, they come to Herod first. and ask, where is the king? Not realizing that you don't ask the current king where the new king is. Well, Herod decides that he'd like to snuff out this threat. And he tells the wise men, he says, you guys go. The king is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. He gathers all his wise men around. They say, Bethlehem. And he says, you go down to Bethlehem. And when you find the baby, you come back and you tell me, because I would like to go and worship also. Lie. And of course, the wise men are warned and they go back a different way and don't report back to Herod. And that makes him angry. Now this is where the text comes in. And again, keep in mind, this is part of Advent. This is part of that lead up. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Sound like an appropriate text for today? It does to me. Well, I could elaborate on this in lots of different ways. I guess what I wanted to say this morning and why I couldn't do our usual greeting is that I think very often we are quick to want to rush to joy to the world, and we don't realize that sometimes we have to take that time to mourn and to hurt. And for those that are in mourning and those that are hurting, the rush to joy to the world is wrong. And so what I want us to do this morning is I don't want to rush us to joy to the world. We'll do that next week, how about? I'll get a chance to preach next week. I'll be off the 30th. I won't be with you then, but Daniel will be here. So we can rush to joy to the world next week. Sound good? Today, can we just hurt? And I thought about it for a second, because again, coming back to this idea of songs, and now, y'all can prove me wrong on this one. Go ahead. I really don't care. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and that's fine. I just took our hymnal, and I got to looking through it. You know how hard it is to find songs of mourning in our hymnal? And again, remember, the mourning is not AM, you got to get up. Mourning, hurting. You know how hard it is to find songs that fit that? I mean, I don't know. Maybe you'll go through. I sat down, unless I missed it, I went through every page of our hymnal looking for some songs. You know what I found? Well, you're about to find out. And let me do it this way this morning. I'm going to read them to you because, for one, I'm not a song leader. And number two, it was interesting to me how many of these songs that I thought this is appropriate, I didn't know them. We don't sing them. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. So anyway, I'm just going to run through these. If you want the list of these songs, I can give them to you. They all came out of our hymnal. But let me just read these to you this morning, because these might be more appropriate to sing. But let's go. The Lord removed his royal robe, laid aside the crown of gold, then said goodbye to the Father for a while to come and pay the debt I owed. And I'm sure glad he loved me so. Yes, Jesus came to walk that last lonely mile. In other words, one of the things that caught my eye about this song was the idea of Jesus coming to walk the last lonely mile. He was born to what? Die. Inherent in the Christmas story, and as great as that is what? One must come to suffer. And I appreciate that about our God, is that He came here to suffer with us. Let's move on. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. Now, the thing that caught my eye about that song is, first of all, it just talks openly about fear when I am afraid. That's another thing I noticed. Now, again, I missed it because I really did. I tried, folks, to go forward with Colossians today. I even tried to figure out how to fit what happened this week into my text in Colossians, and I figured I wouldn't do justice to the text. I was reading in what I wanted to be there. Couldn't do that. So this is a Saturday night special. Okay? But I don't care. So I went through the songbook quickly. You know, I got to noticing there's not a lot of songs in there about expressing fear. Now, I wish I had it on computer so I could do the search and do it quickly, but it's interesting, isn't it, that fear is something that is something we live with frequently, and we don't sing about it much. But it caught my eye here, this business, this acknowledgement of fear, and this acknowledgement of, you know what, we are fundamentally weak. And there is only one that is strong. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Out of the depths, I cry to you on high. Lord, hear my call. Bend down your ear and listen to my sigh, forgiving all. If you should mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at your right hand. The thing that caught my eye out of that was this business of out of the depths, I cry to you on high. Because I've been to the depths. How about you? Out of the depths I cry. I wait for God. I trust His holy word. He hears my sighs. My soul waits and looks unto the Lord. My prayers arrive. I look to Him to drive away my night. Yes, more than those who watch for morning light. In other words, the idea there would be the watchman that would have been waiting for morning. And you do that night after night after night. And it's your job to wait and see the sun come up. And then you can go to bed or do whatever it is you're going to do. How anxious do you wait for that? You really wait for it, don't you? And the person here is basically saying, I'm waiting for you to drive away my night, Lord. I am more anxious than that guy sitting on the tower. Can you do that for me? Can you drive away my night? Hope in the Lord, unfailing is His love. In Him confide, mercy and full redemption from above He does provide. From sin and evil, mighty though they seem, His arm almighty will His saints redeem. The thing about this song that caught my eye, from sin and evil, mighty though they seem, because that's where I am this morning. Yes, I know the end of the story. God wins. We good? Right now, evil looks pretty strong, doesn't it? This was interesting. A little side note on this one. Just observing songs again, looking at all these. A lot of these songs I picked were written in the 1800s, early 1900s. This one caught my eye because I thought it really expresses something I want. But this was a 1980s, I think. So, anyhow. Let God arise, let His enemies be scattered. 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 Let God arise. That's a prayer for today, isn't it? Yeah. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. When the hosts of hell assail and my strength begins to fail, stand by me. When I am growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I am growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden and I'm facing chilly Jordan, O thou lily of the valley, stand by me. Beautiful song, isn't it? I don't know how the lyrics are. I mean, the music part of it. I've got the lyrics, but I don't know how the music part is. I want to hear that. You can sing that to me after church, Joe. But anyway, that one caught my eye. And let's go with this one. Give to the wind your fears. In hope, be undismayed. God hears your signs and counts your tears. God shall lift up your head. Through waves and clouds and storms, He gently clears the way. Wait for His time, so shall the night soon end in joyous day. And again, I put that one last because it really expresses, I thought, very well that, you know what, sometimes we have to sit in the night. We know the day is coming, but we're sitting in the night right now. That's where we are. Now, I want to share with y'all a piece of artwork that I've fallen in love with, but I need to set it up for you. Okay, need to set it up. And the first two verses that will set this up come from Isaiah 49:24. If you're interested, and this is a part of Isaiah where there is some comfort being given. And in other words, God's people have been through, or going to go through, some rough times. And very rough times. They're going to be a conquered people. There's going to be a lot of terrible things that happen. And basically, this is a point where God is saying, don't worry. And this is that very famous portion earlier in chapter 49 where God says, can a mother ever forget the child that nursed at her breast? And the answer is what, ladies? No. Right? In other words, it's a rhetorical question. The answer we all know is no. But this comes on later down in there. But it asks this question. Can plunder be taken from warriors, or captives rescued from the fierce? Now that question is there in Isaiah to point this out. In other words, you're being made all these promises about redemption and about hope and about all those things, but the problem is you're in the middle of still being in the mess. And you really got to ask yourself, can plunder be taken from warriors? Can what they have taken from me ever be gotten back? Can captives be rescued from those that have taken them? You see the question there? That is there? Now, here's the picture. How well would that come out? Yeah, okay, that's probably good enough. And let me interpret it for you to make a little bit of sense out of it. This is an angel taking a young boy to heaven. That's what that is. So, pick it out as best you can, but that's the image there, is an angel taking a young boy to heaven. And the Hebrew on the side is what comes immediately after those verses that I just read you. In other words, if we back up, can plunder be taken from warriors or captives rescued from the fierce? 49:25 in Isaiah is what is quoted here. And it says this. This is what the Lord says. Yes, captives will be taken from warriors. And plunder retrieved from the fierce. God can do it. I will contend with those who contend with you. And then the last part I thought was appropriate for today. And your children I will save. So, thought that was appropriate today. And just like I say, a piece of art that I found moving. Do what you want to with it, but just share that with you. Now, all those songs, I didn't know how to sing them. I can't read music, so I can't help you there. But I want us to sing one this morning that I think we all know. And I forgot to look up the song number. I put the words up here. Yes, we don't have the music. Surely you've got this in your heart. If you don't, we'll work with it. But It Is Well With My Soul. Can we finish the sermon tonight with the singing of this song, or this morning with the singing of this song? When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, nailed to the cross.
Praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.